Good evening, everyone. This is Dr. Kasista, and I appreciate everyone tuning in. Tonight, we're going to be talking about heart-healthy nutrition. And heart-healthy nutrition is such a big deal. I don't know if you understand how big a deal it is, but the CDC, the Center for Disease Control, said that 631,000 people died last year from heart attack. That is a lot of people. In addition to that, another 785,000 people had their first heart attack. And in addition to that, another 470,000 people had a second heart attack. And that's a cost of over $316 billion in cost. So those people that had their first heart attack and second heart attack, those statistics are people that didn't die from it. The 631,000 were people that died from it. So clearly, we're doing something wrong with the way we've been eating. We're doing something wrong with the way we've been told what to do. So we want to clarify that. So we have quite a bit to talk about in this next 30 minutes here. What I would like to start with is really a basic component that if you really understand it, it is the key to all of the rest. It's the key to fatigue, blood pressure, weight loss, cholesterol, type 2 diabetes, and heart attacks. And that is something called insulin resistance. What happens is if you're a man with a waist bigger than 40 inches or a woman with a waist bigger than 34 and a half, you're probably insulin resistant. And if you are, you're pretty much on your way to cholesterol, blood pressure, fatigue, type 2 diabetes, and possibly heart attack. So we want to turn that around, and it can be turned around very easily once you understand what's going on. So let's start at the beginning. If you understand the difference between a carbohydrate and a protein and a fat, generally speaking, carbohydrates provide us energy in our body. Carbohydrates break down to sugars, and they give us energy. They bring sugars to the cells, and that's what the cells use to make hormones, to make new cells, to heal us, to do everything that has to be done in our body. Proteins are foods that break down to building blocks, and those building blocks are necessary as the parts to make new cells, to make hormones. It's the pieces themselves. And fats, of course, are fats, and there are different types, and we'll talk about that in a few minutes. But anyway, so primarily we're looking at carbohydrates and proteins. Carbohydrates are broken down to different kinds. There are good carbohydrates for you, those that release their sugar slowly, and then there are really bad carbohydrates, those that release sugar really quickly. Soda, donuts, ice cream, white things, breads, pastas, those release their sugars much more quickly than fruits and vegetables. Fruits release it a little more quickly than vegetables, and vegetables just release it slowly. But those are all carbohydrates. How do you know the difference when you're looking at a food? When you're looking at the food, if it never had a face, a mother, or went to bathroom, it's probably a carbohydrate. If it never had a face, a mother, or went to bathroom. So a salad, you're looking at a salad. Did that ever have a face, a mother, or go to bathroom? No, so it's a carbohydrate. If you're looking at a beer, did a beer ever have a face, a mother, or go to bathroom? No, so it's a carbohydrate. So that's an easy way to tell. There are some things that are not carbohydrates or proteins. They're fats. Some have both, like peanuts have proteins and fat, but we'll talk about that in just a bit also. So for the most part, in America, when we get up in the morning and have breakfast, if we have breakfast, most of the time it's carbohydrates. Unless you have eggs, pretty much anything else you're going to have is carbohydrates. So if you're going to have cereals of any kind, oatmeal, farina, Choco Pebbles, Fruit Loops, anything, any cereal, that's a carbohydrate. If you're going to have donut, bagels, muffins, those are carbohydrates. So pretty much picture sugar spiking up and then coming back down. Insulin is released immediately when the sugar spikes up, and insulin spikes up higher and tapers off more slowly. Insulin's job is to take all that sugar that you just put into your body that's now broken down and in the blood. It's taking that sugar and physically carrying it across the artery walls to the cells on the other side. The cells on the other side are counting on that because that's the energy supply coming in. So if we spike our, as we spike our sugar with a breakfast, and then the insulin goes a little bit higher, tapers off a little bit more slowly. And then right when the sugar starts to come down, as it starts to decrease in the blood, we get a signal in our brain that we're hungry again. That happens about 2 hours later. So most of us for break will have crackers, a muffin, a bagel, a donut, cookies, something typically carbohydrate. Very few people have some turkey at that time. So there's another spike, and that goes up again. Then lunchtime comes around, and we go out to eat. Americans eat much more carbohydrate. They say 6 to 7 times more carbohydrate than protein at almost every meal. So if you go out and have a hamburger with fries and a soft drink, that's going to be a very little bit piece of meat in there, which is protein, but the bread, the French fries, the lettuce on the bread, the soft drink certainly, all carbohydrates. So then by 2 o'clock, you're hungry again, and that's when people pretty much crash, and that's because once this happens on and on during the day, you get so much backup that you wind up crashing and you get tired. So the bottom line is this happens all day. Insulin stays high all day because of typical American diet. And when it does, insulin itself causes damage to the artery walls. They call it chipping the artery walls. And when it does the damage to the artery walls because the insulin is high all day, what happens is the insulin itself no longer can carry the sugar across the artery walls to the cells on the other side because the artery walls have become inflamed. When they're inflamed and the sugar can't get out, now the cells on the other side become, they're not able to do what they're supposed to do, so you wind up feeling really tired because those cells aren't making energy. They're not making hormones. They're not making new tissue. So one of the first things you see is you start feeling tired. And by the way, fatigue is the number one symptom in all of America. If you ask any kind of doctor, you know, what is the thing you hear most in your office, it's fatigue. So now you've got the cells on the other side that aren't getting the sugar. You've got all this sugar in the blood that's moving through your arteries, but it can't get out because the arteries have become inflamed because the insulin's too high. When that happens, now you're literally pumping syrup instead of blood. So what do you think would happen to your blood pressure? Well, it's going to go up because it's harder for your heart to pump that, and there's no place for the sugar to come out. So now your blood pressure goes up. That's another thing that happens to people. You go to your medical doctor, they artificially want to lower your blood pressure, but it doesn't stop this whole process, so everything gets worse. If the sugar is traveling through your vessels, your blood vessels, and it can't get out, there's no place to go. It goes to the end of the line, and the end of the line is fat cells. And those fat cells are pretty much around our middle. So it keeps dumping sugar into those fat cells and dumping sugar, and fat cells get bigger and bigger, and finally they burst. When a fat cell bursts, it releases triglycerides. So if on your lab test you've ever had elevated triglycerides, that's a sign that this whole process has been going for a long time, and you're at sort of an end stage of that. So you understand what happens is we get tired. We get bigger around the middle because the sugar is piling into the fat cells. Once some of these fat cells burst, it releases triglycerides. Blood pressure is going up. So we're tired, blood pressure, triglycerides, weight gain. So those are some of the dominoes that start to fall when we continue to spike our sugar with the kinds of foods that we eat. Then what happens is along comes cholesterol. Cholesterol has been given a very, very bad rap. Cholesterol is an extremely important chemical in our body, and people who are on statins, on medicines that lower cholesterol, sometimes it lowers it so much you don't have enough to make new hormones. Cholesterol is a basis for making some hormones. It has many, many uses in the body. One of the uses of cholesterol is that it's basically an inside Band-Aid for blood vessels. So cholesterol, if you bruise yourself, if you lean up against something, your shoulder bag strap is digging in too much, or your bra strap's digging in too much, and you damage a little bit of blood vessels, cholesterol will come and stick to the inside over there to make like a Band-Aid to allow the blood vessel to heal. So the question is this: how much cholesterol does your body ask for if all of your arteries are inflamed and you need enough cholesterol to be a Band-Aid for all of your arteries? Well, the answer is obvious. You ask for a lot, and that's where people's cholesterol start going up and up and through the ceiling. And that's a problem because cholesterol sticks to the inside of blood vessels. If too much of it sticks in a blood vessel that's too small, it can actually block the blood vessel. So in medicine, they give statin drugs with like Crestor and Lipitor. And what those drugs do is they stop the production of cholesterol. But they don't stop your body asking for it, and they don't stop your body needing it, and they have a lot of side effects. After having all these drugs on the market for a number of years now, they're finding out that just as many people die on those statin drugs as not on those statin drugs. They're finding out that it has not lowered the death rate at all. So it's not addressing the problem. It's only artificially bringing the number down. But just think about what happens if the blood vessels are that inflamed and the insulin can't carry the sugar out, and so now cholesterol is plaquing to everything. Heart attacks come when too much cholesterol plaques inside the vessels that go to your heart. The blood vessels, your heart pumps blood, but it also pumps blood into blood vessels that supply the muscles to the heart and keep the muscles to the heart with fresh oxygen and fresh nutrients. When those vessels get blocked, now you can have a heart attack. Because what happens is the vessels, the blood can't get through, you're not bringing in oxygen, you're not bringing in nutrients, and the heart tissue itself is damaged, and you can get a heart attack. And that's a major cause. So what medicine does is they'll go in and they'll clean out blood vessels, they'll put a balloon in, and they'll do an angioplasty, and they'll blow the balloon up to stretch the arteries so that they can allow the blood to flow through. But understand, that's not really a treatment. That's a short-term fix. Because as long as your body keeps asking for cholesterol, you're going to keep making it and you're going to keep plaquing those vessels. Now let's turn all this around. How are we going to save ourselves from what's going on with this? What we want to do is we want to start eating foods that don't spike sugar, and we want to avoid foods that do spike sugar. In our American diets, the biggest problem with most of our American diets is there's too much processed foods. And what processed foods are things that have really poor quality sugars in them, foods that don't have a lot of energy and nutrients in them for us. They're really empty foods. They're not even, you almost can't call them foods. They're just things to eat. And not even things to eat. They're things we eat just because it looks good on TV and it tastes good to some people. So to turn it around, if we start eating food that only has small sugar spikes, fruit and vegetable are the best examples. You can eat your body weight in fruit and vegetables and not worry about sugar spiking. Now, fruits do have higher sugar than vegetables do, but if you're eating primarily a fruit and vegetable diet and not spiking sugar with ice cream and with soda and ice and donuts, what will happen is the insulin level drops way, way, way down because it doesn't take as much insulin to deal with the sugar that's being released by fruits and vegetables. You can also eat protein. Protein slows down the sugar spike. So red meat that you buy at the regular grocery store is really bad for us because of the kind of fat in it. But red meat from organically grown animals is actually good for us. So free-range chicken that is as organic as you can get. And I know there's an awful lot of controversy in the definition of what organic is, but if you can get something that says free-range and organic, it's more likely to be cleaner than if you just get a regular chicken. If you get red beef, when you buy beef, cows are supposed to eat grass. The modern cows that are bred for just their meat are given grain. They're given soy and they're given corn primarily. And so they don't grow the same. The quality of the meat is different. The hormones in the meat is different. And the fat in the meat is different. And our body doesn't deal with it as well. So meat, red meat from regular cows that are red, that are given soy and corn actually cause cancer in our bodies. The fat causes problems in our bodies with plaquing. And it's really poor quality for us. However, if you eat fresh meat from a cow that's grass-fed, organically grown, bison meat, ostrich meat, chicken that's free-range and organically grown, fish that's raised, wild-caught fish that's low in mercury. So you can eat protein also, And so the point is, you never have to be hungry. What we're talking about isn't a diet. This is called a lifestyle change. And when you have a lifestyle change, that is your whole, it's sustainable. A diet isn't sustainable, whereas a lifestyle change is. So if you understand the concept of everything I talked about, and we stop spiking sugar by eating fruits, vegetables, and high-quality proteins, now what happens is the arteries are no longer inflamed, and it takes 3 weeks for that to happen. You want to be eating fresh fruits and vegetables all you want, and you want to be taking some vitamins, good quality organic vitamins, not synthetic ones like GNC or Monodays or Centrum. You want to get some high-quality organic vitamins, and then you have some fresh protein. Now the sugar doesn't spike, so the arteries in 3 weeks are no longer inflamed. If the arteries are no longer inflamed, how much cholesterol do you think your body is now asking for? And the answer is just a normal amount. It doesn't need enough to make Band-Aids for the entire arteries. You just need enough so that your body can make hormones and do all the other things that cholesterol does. So basically, the cholesterol problem goes away in those 3 or 4 weeks that it takes for your arteries to heal. Now the sugar is able to get through. The insulin can carry the sugar across to the cells on the other side. So what do you think happens to your blood pressure if you're now not pumping syrup anymore, but you're pumping blood? Well, your blood pressure goes down. What do you think happens to how you feel health-wise if the cells on the other side of the artery walls are now starting to get the sugar that they weren't getting before, and your body can produce the hormones and make the energy compounds and deep charge your batteries? Well, now you feel energy also. So you've turned around diabetes, because that's what it leads to. If you keep spiking sugar and you wind up with sugar in the blood, that's what medical doctors will diagnose as diabetes, type 2 diabetes specifically. And they'll want to give you insulin for it. And because insulin will help ram the sugar through the artery walls if there's more of it, that's the thinking. But we understand now that by giving even more insulin, and it's already too high, and that's what's inflaming the artery walls, that's what makes insulin resistance even worse, and that's why those people gain a tremendous amount of weight, can't get rid of it, feels tired all the time, and just have a tremendous amount of problems that carry on after that, along with ultimately a heart attack. So we want to turn it around by eating fresh fruits and vegetables as much as you want. You want to eat fresh protein, organically grown, as much as you want, and it's not a diet. It's totally sustainable. We want to stay away from processed foods. Pretty much when you shop at the store, you have to go around the perimeter of the store, the outside perimeter of the store, because there's very few things in the aisles that you can eat. Almost everything in the aisles is processed. It's all baked with high fat, bad fat. It's made with trans fats. Let's talk about fats for a few minutes. There is a myth that fats make us fat, and that is not true. The truth is bad fats make us fat, but there are some good fats that we really need. So saturated fats are actually good for us. So you can get those in organic beef, naturally raised lamb. Butter is fine. If you get real butter, you should never use margarine or margarine type of products. They're not good for us at all. Cheese, good organic cheese, milk and cream, and dairy products. If you're going to cook, you want to use coconut oil. Coconut oil doesn't break down the way canola oil or sunflower oil or safflower oil do when we're cooking. So for cooking, you want to use coconut oil. So saturated fats are actually good for us. They bathe they bathe the brain. The brain is actually bathing cholesterol, and that's not a problem there. It's what it's made for. Nerves need saturated fats for the way they function. Now, trans fats are really bad. That's a problem. Trans fats we get in fried foods. We get in ready-made baked goods. Anything that's made, cookies, pastries, anything that's already made pretty much all has trans fats in it, chips, donuts. It's trans fats that give us a problem with breaking down food, digestion, sticking, not being able to digest it. So we want to stay away from that as much as possible. Going back a little bit to statins, when we talked about lowering cholesterol just by taking statins, many of you don't realize, or many people don't understand, that statins have been shown to increase the incidence of stroke. They decrease heart muscle. and they actually damage heart tissue. And that's become a real problem. There's also an increased cancer risk. There's neuropathy, which is nerve damage. There are liver problems, and there are sexual dysfunctions. So all of a sudden, you're seeing everybody has erectile dysfunction, and that's because all these people are on one of the statin drugs. So they have to give them another drug. The average American is on 11 prescription drugs, 11 prescription drugs. That is a tremendous amount. And that's besides all the over-the-counter things. So to get rid of the problem of heart attacks, to get rid of the problem of diabetes, of fat, of fatigue, we want to just start eating and being really live consciously and not just put things in our mouth without being aware of what it is or how good or bad it is, because we need to think of eating not so much as I want to get unhungry. We need to think of eating as it's time to refuel. And if you think of it that way, you wouldn't put water in your car just because your tank is empty. You wouldn't put any old liquid in there just because the tank is empty. You want to put something in there that the engine can use. And that's the same with our body, because if you don't, over a short period of time, it causes some damage, and sometimes it's irreversible damage. So we want to make sure we eat as well as we can. We have to also look at the total picture. So let's say we remove something from the diet. Say, okay, fine, I'm not going to eat candy anymore. I'm not going to eat chocolate. Well, what are you going to replace it with? And you need to look at that. So what we say is, let's say you have a craving for candy or for brownies or for something that you know you really shouldn't be eating. You have a craving for it. Or for some junk food. Let's call it junk food. And you have a craving for it. If you can eat something good before. So I'm not saying stop eating the other one right away. Before, and then what will happen is you're not as hungry, so you'll eat less of the junk food. So that's the step. So we want to start adding to our diet by adding good foods in, so we're not as hungry and we wind up eating less junk food. So that's called an addition rule. Another thing we can do is there's a 10-point rule where, let's say you really have an incredible craving for something, and that craving is a 10, not a 10. Like, it's just the most craving, and you just can't beat a 10. But, you know, if you can somehow bring that craving down to a 5 or a 6, you might be able to handle that. So if you want to have a chocolate bar, but instead you can go to into the refrigerator and take out some chocolate chips that you were going to use for some chocolate chip cookies, which you should be making anyway, and you just have a small, tiny bit of chocolate chips, and that satisfies you. And you say, okay, that was enough. I might be okay with that. I brought my craving from a 10 down to a 5 or a 6, and I can handle that. So that's a 10-point reduction rule. If you can find a way to bring your cravings down, then you're not going to be so tempted to move on to the worst stuff or to big quantities of the worst stuff. Another important point to make about eating and heart attacks and just poor choices in general is eating bad food is bad enough, but if you eat them later at night, particularly after 7 o'clock, now you're just going to be sitting around mostly. Very few people are out running around after that time. So you might be watching TV. You might be talking to the kids, helping them with homework. And you don't have time to really get rid of that food. You don't have time to use your muscles and get some energy going to burn it and get rid of it. So you're going to wind up storing more of it. So if you really insist on eating ice cream every day, at least have it in the morning so you have the whole day to get rid of it. Very important. We actually are not supposed to eat too much of anything after 7 o'clock. If you're someone like me, you come home late frequently, you haven't eaten supper because you were at work or you were someplace doing something, if you're going to eat later at night, try to eat mostly protein. So some scrambled eggs, an omelet maybe, some cottage cheese, some peanut butter with some organic peanut butter on an apple. You want to eat something, even though the apple is carbohydrate, it's a good quality carbohydrate, but you're better off with protein later at night. That gives you a chance it gives your body a chance because you don't have to break it down as much. So as far as exactly what to eat, you've heard about all different kinds of diets. The Mediterranean diet is the one that seems to get the most success. Mediterranean diet is mainly whole fresh food. There are a lot of fruits and vegetables. They have fish. They do have some whole grains, and they have unsaturated fats like extra virgin or virgin olive oil. Virgin olive oil is good to cook to eat with when you're making things that don't require cooking. When you're going to cook, you want to use the coconut oil. So the thing about the Mediterranean diet is that it's been found to help decrease the risk of heart disease and stroke. Even though it's low in saturated fats, the biggest thing about it is there is no processed foods in it. So they're not foods that are loaded with sugars and trans fats. So that's the way we want to take a look at eating. We want to eliminate processed foods like sugar, bad carbohydrates, and dangerous types of fat. So we want to use butter, not margarine, and or vegetable oil spreads. We want to cook in coconut oil. You can use olive oil for cold things or on salads. And that's basically it. It's not difficult. Just think about nature. The closer you can eat to what nature intended, the more likely it is that it's good for us. And the farther we get from what nature has. So you look at a package of something that, you know, doesn't look anything like the original food was. You know, things made of grains and whatnot doesn't look anything like the way it grew in the ground or came on the tree. It's all chemical things and processed things. Our body just has a hard time dealing with that. We start the insulin resistance cycle going, and then it's something that we wind up taking all kinds of medications for, which none of them treat the cause. They all just try to treat each symptom as they come. But the simple answer, and it is a simple answer, is eating the fresh fruits and vegetables, good quality proteins, and that's the best way to do it. One more thing that needs to be added is exercise. When we exercise, we heat our bodies up from the inside out, and that pushes the blood through the tissues. It cleans out garbage. It brings in fresh oxygen. I can't say enough about exercise. That's a whole other presentation. But if for someone that doesn't exercise, you're so far behind the eight ball with it. You never get to deep charge your batteries. If you don't exercise, you don't create energy compounds in your body because your body just does what it needs. And if you're not going to be putting out a lot of energy, your body doesn't create a lot of energy. So you work all day. You barely make enough to get through the day. You come home. You park yourself on the couch. Use the remote control the rest of the night, and that's the activity you have. So that's not okay. If the major muscles that you use are the ones you use for chewing, that's a big problem. So exercising 3, 4, 5, 6 times a week is really what you want to do. It doesn't need to be a big, giant, rigorous exercise. Walking is okay. Walking is fine for some times, but you still need to work out with weights. And I know this isn't about eating, but I just can't say enough about how important exercise is. So I'll let it go at that. We are pretty much out of time, but hopefully this will make sense to you. If you do have any questions about insulin resistance, feel free to reach me at the office. My number is 978-957-5585. That's 978-957-5585. You can go to casista.com. On our website, there's a place to ask questions if you have questions about anything. We actually have a lot of information on that website. Feel free to look at that or stop by and talk with us. We'd love to talk to you. Have a wonderful night. I appreciate you tuning in and listening in. Hopefully this has been useful information for you, helpful information. And again, if you have any questions, feel free to contact us. Have a wonderful evening. Good night.